Emily, Kylie, if you'll have a song of invitation in the message, I would appreciate it. Let's take our Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. Revelation, chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 2. The Bible says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto a crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second like a calf, and the third had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, and the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Father, tonight we want to thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be back in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful weather, a beautiful afternoon you've given us. Father, the desire you've placed in us to come back to your house, to sing the songs that exalt your Son, that lift up our Savior. And Father, I pray tonight everything that's said from this pulpit would bring honor and glory to your Son's precious name. You know the needs of the hour. You know those that are amongst us, Father, that may be lost, that may be undone, don't know the free pardon of sin, may be on their way to hell. I pray, God, this would be the night that they'd be gloriously saved for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, our pastor, he preached on that thought that our God reigns. And I was reading as he was preaching there in the Psalms 93, verse number 2. The verse says, Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Tonight, I'd like to preach on that thought tonight about this throne of God. Last week we looked about the reality of the rapture, that our Lord is coming, and I believe it's soon, very soon, we'll see Jesus Christ split the eastern sky, call his church home, and there will be for him forever. But if you see here in verse number 2, after verse number 1, after what we see, the church is caught up, the church is raptured, the Bible says that the Lord, John heard a voice that said, come up hither, he was caught up. And in verse number 2, the Bible says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. There's a setting of this throne. And John sees this throne. He sees this wonderful setting. It says, behold a throne. John's called up. He's called up out of this world. And there immediately he notices a throne. Out of all the promises that God's given us, the beauties and the splendor of heaven, the street of gold, the mansions he's gone to prepare, the glassy sea, the loved ones are there that are waiting for you and I, the walls of jasper, the city of pure gold, the river of life, all the wonderful sights and the sounds and the promises of heaven. But the first thing that catches John's eye, catches his attention, is a throne. Behold a throne was set in heaven. He says, behold, John began to gaze at this throne. He begins to notice this throne. His attention, his focal point, his desire is on this throne. 17 times in chapters 4 and chapters 5 alone, the word is throne is used. We find it's a seat of authority. It's a seat of rule. It's a seat of this established of exaltation. It's the seat of where our God reigns. And although tonight this word, it looks like it's in utter chaos, it's in serious decline, and it's in great turmoil and great despair, there is nothing that's not out of control of this one that rules from the throne. John sees the setting of the throne. He notices the beauty of the throne here in verse number 3. Verse number 3, the beauty, he said, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. A rainbow. John sees this emerald rainbow, the colored green. He's pictures of God's grace and God's glory, and it's displayed here in the afterworld, and it's green in color all the way around about the throne. A never-ending circle, no star to no end. It's a promise. It's a over and under it. It's never-ending, and we know in the Bible that green, it displays and it tells us of life, of newness, of freshness, of vitality. I believe what John's seeing here, the beauty around this throne, is it's a life that never will end. The eternal life that God's given us. Living for eternity. Hey church, there's one day that you and I, there'll be no more obituaries to read. There'll be no more funeral homes to attend. There'll be no more grieved families. The gates of that city will never be shut. For the Bible says there'll be no night there. And John says this. This promise, and this is the promise, 1 John 2:25, that He's promised us even eternal life. The beauty of the throne. He sees life everlasting, eternal life, never ending there at the throne. A rainbow about the throne. But we also know this rainbow's a promise. He promised Noah that he wouldn't flood the earth with water again. The throne says tonight, I can do whatever I choose because I rule. But God's promises tell us, and says, I will fulfill my word, for I can do no otherwise. There's a promise from the throne, a promise of eternal life, life never ending, but the beauty that he sees. But I also see the blood-washed saints around the throne. Notice in verse number 4, it says, around about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment and on their heads crowns of gold. John sees 24 elders seated here around the throne. And I may be wrong, Pastor, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe these 24 elders are the saints of God. It pictures the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. The blood-washed saints, the Old Testament, the 12 tribes of Judah, the New Testament, the 12 disciples, the Old and New Testament alike. And it says they are clothed in white raiment. I heard a preacher this past week touch on this subject about the robes that our Savior wore on the day of His crucifixion. And begin to think about the robes that He wore. How they take Jesus and they bring Him to Pilate, and Pilate finds out He's a Galilean. He's from Galilee, so he sends Him to Herod. Herod's excited. Herod wants to see Him. He wants to see some marvelous miracle. He begins to speak and to talk and to question our Savior, but Jesus never said a word. They begin to mock Him, ridicule Him, rail upon Him, and they place a gorgeous robe upon Him and send Him back to Pilate. Pilate, they begin to ridicule Him. They place a scarlet robe upon Him. They put a reed in His right hand. They bow down and said, Hail, King of the Jews. They get up and begin to spit upon Him. Take that reed. And the Bible says they smote Him in the head and stripped off that scarlet robe. He wore many robes that day. A gorgeous robe. A scarlet robe. A purple robe. But I believe there was another robe He wore. This war robe was placed on Him there at Calvary. There as He hung on the cross, from the 6th to the 9th hour, from 12 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, as my Savior is bleeding and dying, the sun was darkened, the earth was covered in darkness, there was a robe that I was wearing. It was the robe that I was clothed in. It was my sins, my transgressions, my iniquities, my ungodliness, my wickedness was stripped off me and placed on the darling Son of God. But on that grand and glorious day, that February 9, 2001, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I placed my faith in Him. He stripped off His robe, that gorgeous robe, that righteous robe, that imputed righteousness, and placed it upon me. We find here these blood-washed saints were clothed in white with crowns of gold upon their head. One day, soon and very soon, we'll all be seated together, the blood-washed saints around the throne, giving God glory, giving the honor, giving Him the praise, exalting the One that's sitting on this throne. It's a promise. It's a reality tonight that one day we'll be around the throne. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 5. Jesus told that church that was dying, that church was dying, the Sardis church, He gave them this promise. He said that he that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment. Then He goes on to tell that Laodicean church, that church of the last day, the lukewarm church, He gave them this promise. He said, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in His throne. You say, what are these elders doing? Well, what are they doing? I believe, Pastor, they were having church. They came to this throne not to spectate, but they came to this throne to participate. Notice what they were doing in the chapter 5, verse number 9. They were singing. They came to this throne with song in their heart in verse number 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take a book and open the seals thereof. Here it is. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. They came to this throne singing. They were having church. But after they sung, they began to testify. They begin to worship. They begin to praise this One that's set upon the throne. Look at verse number 12. They were saying, these voices, these angels, these saints, these elders began to say in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. They wasn't there to spectate, but they wanted to get on it. And I want to say tonight, that's how we ought to be when we come to the house of God. We shouldn't come just to spectate, to warm the pew, or to see what the preacher has to say, but we need to come with a song in our heart. If you're saved and born again, He's put a new song in your heart. Come and singing, come and praising, testifying for the One that's sitting on the throne. We see the beauty of this throne. I see the blood-washed saints around the throne, but I also see the beast amongst the throne. Verse number 6 in chapter number 4. It says, And before the throne was a sea of glass like unto a crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Each one of these beasts, these living created creatures, had six wings amongst them and eyes full inside. And we find here they were cherubims, I believe. They were there. Their focus, their attention, their point of view was continually, eternally on this One that sits around the throne. But I noticed they had different features. We find these features in verse number 7. They're different faces, different figures in the face. And I believe, and I was told, and if I'm wrong, you can ask, tell Brother Frank Landers back there, but I believe they indicate and they dictate of how Jesus was portrayed in the four Gospels. If you see here in verse number 7, it says, And the first beast was like a lion. Matthew shows our Savior as the coming King. King Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Then we see, he says, and the second like a calf. Like a calf, like a ox, like a bullock. It's a beast of burden. That animal, that beast that labors, that works, that toils, that carries heavy loads. We know the Gospel of Mark shows our Savior, Jesus Christ, as a servant, as a suffering servant. It shows His deeds and His servitude, His actions, His suffering for you and I. Then the third beast, like a face of a man. Luke shows our Savior as man. Starts out with the nativity. Perfect man. Born of a virgin. Lived a perfect sinless life. He was the second Adam. But then it says the fourth beast, like a flying eagle, the Gospel of John. We know John 14, chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, if He's made flesh and He dwelt among us, where did He come from? John 3:17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved, showing us that Christ, the King of glory, this suffering servant, the Son of Man, He came from the lofty heights of heaven. The settings of the throne, but also see the beauty of the throne, the blood-washed saints of the throne, the beasts around the throne, but I also see the one that sat upon the throne. In verse 2, it says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Did I say this morning, or tonight rather, our God reigns? I appreciate the message this morning, Pastor. I'm not adding or taking away to it, but it just stirred something on the inside of me. That our God reigns. He sat on a throne. Let me say it was an occupied throne. This throne, this seat of authority was not vacant. It was not empty. It was occupied. And the one that sat upon the throne in verse number 3 tells us was to look upon like jasper and sardis stone. No description of this one that sat upon the throne. No figure. No silhouette. Only light. They tell me jasper is the first stone on the high priest's breastplate. They say the sardis stone is the last stone on the high priest's breastplate. There's a first and the last stone. But then he says this jasper stone. We know that jasper stone, that first stone, it represents Reuben. Reuben's name means, behold, a son. And then the last stone, the sardis stone on the breastplate, represents Benjamin. We know Benjamin's name means the son of my right hand. The jasper, they tell me, is a vibrant red color, scarlet, crimson red, and sardis is a clear, bright, brilliant white. It's as if, Pastor, this one that's seated on the throne is pointing to another. It's as if he's saying, behold a son, the son of my right hand, Alpha and Omega, he's first, he's the last. And then he says, now, I was reminded, now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The red, it tells us of His sacrifice. It tells us of His shed blood on Calvary. We find the brilliant white shows us His glory and His honor, the empty tomb and His majesty. We see God the Father is on the throne, but He's given honor to His Son on the right. Isaiah seen it. Pastor alluded to it this morning. There that year that his king, that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. They tell me the longer the robe those kings wore, the longer the train that they had, showed the more power and the more authority and the glory that they had. Isaiah said his train filled the temple. His train was a great abundance is the word. His train accomplished is the word. His train was completed the temple. There's one tonight that's sitting on the throne with his son beside him with great my honor, majesty, and glory. There'll be a day, a reality. Soon we'll see this throne, the beauty of a throne, the blood-washed saints around the throne, the beasts around the throne, the promises of the throne, and there too we'll be honoring, worshiping, glorying, and praising the one that sat upon the throne. We see God the Father on the throne. We see His Son Jesus Christ there, the one He's pointing to. But where's God the Holy Ghost? Look at verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. These seven spirits of God, God the Holy Ghost, they're as they're referenced in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, and Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 2. We see the seven spirits of God, those attributes, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, in and around the throne of God. May I say tonight, as our pastor said so beautifully this morning, our God reigns. What a day that will be when we see His throne, when we see His glory, when we get to praise and honor Him for all that He's done to the one that sitteth on the throne. I'm longing tonight to see that throne. Longing tonight to see my Savior, the one that shed His blood for me. But the good news is, we don't have to wait to go by the grave to see the throne. We don't have to wait to go by the rapture to see the throne. If you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 for just for a moment. Paul's writing. He's telling the Hebrews, these blood-washed saints, about a greater high priest. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, tonight we have an open invitation to come to the throne of grace. Paul said, let us therefore come. Paul's not mandating. He's not commanding, He's not forcing, but He's inviting us to come to the throne of grace. You see, in the Old Testament, the mercy seat, I believe it parallels, it pictures this throne of grace. And in the Old Testament, there was curtains, there was gates, there was a veil that prohibited, that limited people to come to the throne, to come to the mercy seat. Nobody except the high priest on one day a year was allowed to come to this throne. You could go to the brazen altar, you could sacrifice that animal, that for the blood, but you could go no further. That veil, it prohibited, it limited you to get to God. But Christ, let me say, Christ in the New Testament, when He died, as I said earlier, on that sixth to ninth hour, when the sun was darkened, there was darkened over the land, as He was bleeding and dying, and as He cried, it is finished, that veil was rent, it was torn, the curtain was open, the veil is gone. Tonight we have full access, God's inviting us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Jesus now saying, come. He's saying, come. Come to the throne of grace. The curtain's been removed. The veil is gone. You're welcome to come to worship. You can come into my presence. He said, therefore, let us come. Natalie, we talked about it the other night. That word come, it's in the present tense. It's a continuing verb. It's a habitual. It means it's ongoing. It never ends. What He's saying tonight, we can come to the throne of grace. And tomorrow morning when we wake up, we're welcome back to the throne of grace. And next week and next month and next year, that invitation still stands. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly. Without fear. Boldly. without dread, boldly without worry. Why? Because we're being invited. They tell me that word boldly, those root words, it means to say everything. What he's saying when we come to this throne of grace, we can tell our Savior everything on our heart. We can tell him. He won't rebuke. He won't chastise. The Bible says he upbraideth not. You're discouraged this tonight, you can come and tell him. You're downtrodden, you can come and tell him. You're troubled tonight, you can come and tell him. You've doubted him, you can come and tell him. He will not rebuke. He's inviting, we're saying we're welcome. Why? For this purpose. He says in verse number 16, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That we can obtain mercy. That we can catch mercy. That we can grasp is the word mercy. That we can grasp, receive, catch, and obtain this mercy. And find grace. The girls sang about that grace this morning. Unmerited favor. God's riches at Christ's expense. Something we don't deserve. Something we don't work for. It's just a gift from God. But he said we can find the grace. It indicates someone's coming to this throne looking for some grace. I was thinking this afternoon about Ruth. Ruth, she was looking for something she so desperately needed. She was desiring this barley. Her family, Naomi, they were starving. They were looking for food. And she found grace in the eyes of Boaz. You see, she's there in Boaz's field gleaning. She's gathering. She's reaping. She's looking for grace. And old Boaz says, drop her some handfuls of barley on purpose. You know, tonight, if you come to this altar, if you come to the throne of grace, you can obtain mercy. You can open your hands. You can catch that mercy. And you can find grace in your time of need. Notice that what he says in verse 16. He said to help in the time of need. It indicates there's going to be a time when we need his help. Do you need his help tonight? The Bible's inviting you to come to this throne. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We don't have to wait till the glory world. He's saying, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. An invitation. Kids, if you'll come and play whatever the Lord lays on your heart, we'll all stand tonight. Father, tonight we want to thank you for your blessings. Lord, we want to thank